Good morning. Today is Friday, June 24th, 2022, and the time is 8:33 a.m. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll check. Hector Cerna could not be here today. Philip Holt, are you present?
Present.
Rosie Morris, are you present?
Present.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the commission, you will need to fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items, 10 minutes. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on April 22nd, 2022. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on April 22nd, 2022?
So moved, Philip Holt.
Second.
Rosie Morris seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye on the motion.
Aye.
Ayes have it and the motion passes. So we will now move on to item B. Commissioner Renta, will you please give us your report?
Certainly. On page five, I believe. The first item there is the audit area vanity control penetration test and web application. And as indicated in the status update, we're still waiting for the scan and rescan to take place and be that completed. It actually should be in the next 10 days. And so we'll have the full report in August. With respect to the legal and enforcement, we will have a full report on that. That audit was completed in the response. And so we'll be going into that in more detail as well.
Any questions on the report? So you said I will ask this, so there will be a report issued for the first item in August. So you do have a date now.
Okay. We will have it in August.
Thank you. All right, we will now move on to item C. Commissioner Cooper.
On page six, we have the Department of Banking audit activities. The DIR cybersecurity framework that we discussed in executive session several meetings ago, we will have remediations continued and we will have an update at the August meeting. Then on the Comptroller of Public Accounts post payment audit, it's still pending and we're waiting the preliminary report from Comptroller's office. We have the IT audit, Garza Gonzalez is completed, and also the consumer assistance follow-up audit by Garza Gonzalez has been completed. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. We will move on to item D.
Yeah. Audit activities?
Oh, I guess you do. You're not here. You're missing on the agenda. So, Commissioner Pettijohn, please give us your report.
Okay. All right, thank you. The Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner report begins on page seven, and I'll briefly go over the items in here. The first item is the internal audit report, which will be covered in item F, so I'm really not going to go into that. We went ahead and put in all the findings in our plan, but you'll see those also in the audit, so we'll cover that later. at the bottom of the page is the Department of Public Safety audit. The report of this is in your packet on page nine, starting on page nine. It's kind of a different kind of looking report, but these are the reports for the criminal history information that we receive in our agency in the licensing department, where we review criminal history information of applicants for a license. There were three findings in the report. One is complete and two are in process and expected to be complete by September 30th of 2022. On page eight, there is the penetration test, similar to the one that SML had was reporting on, and the web application vulnerability scan. The rescan is currently pending on that. And then we are continuing work on a finding related to the audit that we have from the state auditor's office, from the SCSI audit that you heard at the last meeting. We reported on that in full, and we are continuing work on revisions to our change management policy procedures and implementation of those by August 31st. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, but that's our audit activity report.
On the penetration testing, do you have any timing for when they're going to redo the rescan?
It is scheduled to start July 18th. So I don't know that we'll have the report in time for August. It's going to be kind of tricky, but big plus. I just don't know.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Now we can move on to item D. Sorry about that. Ms. Terry Garza Gonzalez.
Budget process. If you'll refer to.
Okay.
Madam Chair, item C, we have discussion of the 23 budget process.
Okay.
I'd like to ask Wendy Rodriguez to come up and just give the committee just kind of an overview of the process
okay. That
all the three agencies will be going through.
Good morning, members. Wendy Rodriguez for the Texas Department of Banking. Mm-hmm. On page 21, you will find the tentative timeline for each agency for the fiscal year 23 budget development process. The timeline is pretty similar to the previous years. In June and July, of course, the agencies are going to be developing their budgets in preparation for presentation at the budget hearing. This is a public hearing, and it'll be available or on August 10th. And all three agencies will be conducting that hearing and seeking input from the public. Interested parties are invited to give testimony at that time and comment. Once that process is completed, the budgets will be presented at the Finance Commission meeting to be held on August 19th for the Audit Committee and the Finance Commission's review and budget approval. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, I think I'm ready for item D now. We'll move on to item D. Ms. Terry from Garza Gonzalez and Associates will be presenting the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending's audit report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chica Cherry from Garza Gonzalez and Associates. Good morning, everybody. I'm here to present fiscal year 2022 internal audit annual report for first Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. And the report begins on page 23 of your handout. If you could flip to page 24, this is the table of contents. Sections 1 through 4 and skip the middle and 7 through 9. These are the informations required to be included in internal audit annual report in accordance with requirement provided by the State Auditor's Office. In the middle of sections 5 and 6, these are the internal audit reports for the legal and enforcement area, and we will touch on this later on. If you could go to page 25, this is the our auditor's report to you, commission members and audit committee members. And this is here we are saying that we have performed procedures to determine the effectiveness and efficiency of SML's internal control structure over the legal and enforcement area, and as well as compliance with applicable laws and rules and areas established policies procedures for the 7-month period ended March 31st, 2022. And we did not identify any instance of non-compliance from this audit. However, we did identify certain matters that are included as observation in this report, that opportunities for strengthening internal controls and ensuring compliance going forward. And this report, as I said, reports all information required to comply with State of Texas internal audit annual report requirements. Page 26, the bottom part of page 26, under 2022 internal audit plan, this summarizes what we have done in fiscal year 2022. We perform internal audit and other functions listed below as identified in XML's internal audit plan for fiscal year 2022, which was dated November 19, 2021, and approved by the Audit Committee and Finance Commission on December 17th meeting. And in addition to performing fiscal year 2022 risk assessment and preparation of internal audit plan, internal audit plan included an audit of legal and enforcement area and preparation of internal audit annual report. And we did not have any other tasks performed for this year. And this report contains the results of the audit of legal and enforcement area, and as well as all the required information to be included in internal audit annual report. Skip a few pages and page 28. This page contains first four of required information to be included in internal audit annual report. I will just run by this fast. Section one relates to required posting of internal audit information. And this is talking about approved 2023 audit plan. In our case, we will perform and prepare 2023 annual, internal audit plan once in fiscal year 2023, as opposed to right now. And also this internal audit annual report 2022, this will be posted to agency website within 30 days after presented to the commission. Section two is related to consulting and not auditing service completed. And we will report that we did not perform any consulting services or non-audit services during fiscal year 2022. Section three relates to quality assurance review. And our most recent PRD report was dated December 15, 2021, indicating that we have system quality control to perform quality service review. And section four is internal audit plan for fiscal year 2022. And this section, beginning the bottom of page 28 to page 29, briefly summarizes what was already presented in internal audit plan, which was approved in December 2021. In accordance to this audit plan, we performed one audit, which was legal and enforcement audit, and prepared this internal audit annual report. If you could go to page 31, through page 38, this is the internal audit report for legal enforcement area. And this audit was performed in May 2022 and conducted 100% remotely. And finalized report was submitted to the department on June 13, 2022, a few weeks ago. And here I would like to thank SML staff for cooperation, especially General Counsel Garcia, Deputy General Counsel Berry, and Legal Assistant Ms. Herrera. They were working closely to us, and we were able to obtain all requested information in a timely manner. I thank for that. Pages 31 through 33, here we describe overall summary information of the area being audited, starting with general information at the top of page 31. And we listed two additions to the finance code that took effect in fiscal year 2022. However, these new additions did not have any significant effect to the audited area as far as procedure wise. And as we move then to the bottom half of page 31 to page 33, these are the summary of key activities performed by the area and with a focus on the internal controls. Here we the descriptions are provided in the areas such as enforcement referral intake, enforcement actions. If you could go to the middle part of page 32, right about the table, here, please note that there's a notation about penalty matrix. Penalty matrix was the area identified by State Auditor's Office as well as Sunset Commission to be the areas of improvement. And we took a close look at penalty matrix that was developed by the area department. And I'm happy to report to you that during fiscal year 2022, the department implemented an enhanced penalty matrix that have improved the clarity of the criteria and provides detailed guidance to be used by the area when issuing enforcement actions and assessing fees. Continuing more description of the area activities that includes tracking and compliance monitoring, recovery fund, new mortgage grant fund, and lastly the reporting. And starting page 34 through page 35, there is a description of audit objectives, scope, and methodology. As I briefly mentioned earlier, the objective of our audit was to determine whether SML's policies and procedures and internal controls in place over the legal and enforcement area provide reasonable assurance that applicable laws and rules, as well as policies and procedures, are operating effectively. And the scope of audit was to review the area's selected functions performed for the 7-month period from September 1st, 2021 through March 31st, 2022. I would like to note that this audit scope excludes consumer complaints intake and investigation activities, as these activities are considered as separate auditable areas. And under the methodology, this documents what we have done to come to the conclusion of the audit. And starting from the very bottom of page 34 to 35, it describes the procedures performed in order to achieve the audit objectives. And page 36 is the summary of the audit results. And as you will see, I am happy to report to you that there was no significant non-compliance that should be reported as a finding. We did, however, noted two items as observations, which is the opportunities for the agency to improve the internal control going forward. One is related to documenting policies and procedures, and the agency is in the process of converting existing policies and procedures into Savanta system, which is a new way to efficiently document and be able to access to policies and procedures by all employees. And we made a recommendation to set a completion date. That way all employees will have this great information in a timely manner. The second observation was the quality control matter. There was no significant non-compliance during the audit. However, we did identify several instances where procedures were not activities were not in, activities were inconsistent with established policies and procedures. And although these matters are isolated instances, and they were not significant, and there was no effect to outcome of the area's activities. However, as in aggregate, that gives indication that the area's existing quality control may be improved. And on the last page of the report, which is page 41, this is the history of areas audited from fiscal year 2012 through 2022. And that concludes the presentation of the report, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Jerry.
Rosie Morris, I have a question, and it relates to all three audits, so I'll just ask it once. On page 29, where you have the risk matrix, and I realize records management used to be very different than IT management, but now they're so intertwined. How do you see the risk different? Because in some ways, even on records management, when you start talking disaster planning, I mean, here in Central Texas, you could have a drought, have a fire, you could have a water main break. Yeah. So even your paper records could, you have high risk for the IT. I guess I'm not seeing why records management is low risk.
That's a very good point. And we do recognize that since records transition into electronic format, we do recognize that is a risk, and that have been considered during the risk assessment process. When certain areas labeled as low risk, this is not this is a relative risk. So we are not saying record management does not have any risk, and we agree that because of the transition to electronic format, this is the audit on records management area has changed from paper-based, primary paper-based, to reviewing more into electronic records. At the time we performed this risk assessment, more than half a year ago, we were aware and there had been included in our assessment and in our documentation. However,
I guess to me, it seems like they're getting so closely related, they need to be combined into one unit and be treated the same. And even with the pandemic, with more people working remotely, you've had records management at different remote locations. And how do you get it back? If we've learned anything in the last 2 years, is we've got to stay very open to things that could happen that are beyond what is our normal thinking. And so, it's just a comment. You don't have to try and solve it today, but I just noticed on each one, it seemed like there, to me, it just seemed like those needed to be more closely related. And it has nothing to do with your audit report. And then I had, because I'm new to the committee, so I have a question on this report with the legal and enforcement. Since the budget's coming up, how are penalties used once you get them? Because they're very hard to budget for. You know, you'd love for everyone to be 100% compliant, and we're human, so that's not going to happen. So what do you do with the penalties once you get them?
Okay. I would ask Antonia Antoff, who's Director of Operations, to go into some detail on that. She can give you how it is managed and how it is part of the budget.
Right, just an overview. I didn't want real detail, just kind of a sense.
Antonia Antoff, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. We do not budget for penalties at all.
Okay.
We put $0 in the budget just so we do not rely on penalties, so there's no any pressure to assess penalties in order to make our budget work.
Right.
Depending on the amounts of penalties, we try to make the people, the licensees that comply benefit from the penalties, whether it's going to be through fee reduction. So we factor it in into the next year's budget is to, you know, the excess helps next year's budget.
Okay. I just didn't know if it went into a dedicated area.
No.
Okay.
No, thank it you. All rolls into operating funds.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Morris, I just want to swing back to your point of records management. Your point will be definitely considered when we perform risk assessment for fiscal year 2023.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm done. Sorry.
No problem. Any questions? And do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending's 2022 Annual Internal Audit Report as prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez and Associates?
Rosie Morris, so moved.
Second by Philip Holt.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item E. Ms. Cherry, please continue with the Texas Department of Banking's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Starting page 43 of your packet, this is the fiscal year 2022 internal audit annual report for Texas Department of Banking. On page 44, this is the table of contents. I am not going to repeat the same information to spare you all this Friday morning, but sections 1 through 4 and sections 7 through 9, these are the informations required to be included in internal audit annual report by the State Auditor's Office. And in the middle part, sections 5 and 6 relates to audit report of IT examinations area, as well as a follow-up of prior year internal audit. That was a consumer assistance area. On page 45, it's again letters to you, commission members, audit committee members. It is saying that we perform procedures to determine the effectiveness and efficiency of the Texas Department of Banking internal control structure over IT examinations area and its compliance with laws and rules, and as well as the areas established policies and procedures for the 7 month ended March 31st, 2022. And I'm happy to report to you that there was no instance of non-compliance noted during the audit. And we also performed a follow-up of findings and recommendations in the prior year internal audit report. And this report contains all required information in accordance with Texas internal audit annual report requirements. Move on to page 46, the bottom half of this page summarizes the 2022 internal audit plan. And we performed internal audit functions listed in the bullets as identified in DOB's internal audit plan dated November 19th, 2021, and approved by the Audit Committee and Finance Commission on December 17th, 2021. In addition to risk assessment and preparation of internal audit plan, the plan included an audit of bank examination area, an audit of IT examinations area, follow-up of prior year internal audits on consumer assistance, and preparation of the 2022 internal audit annual report. There was no tasks assigned to us by the management or the commission. And this report, as I said, this report contains the results of the IT examinations audit and information required for internal audit annual report. The bank examination report, which was dated March 11, 2022, was presented and presented to and approved by the Audit Committee and Finance Commission at the April 22nd, 2022 meeting. I will skip pages 47 and last portion of page 48, since these are the same information included in the MLS report. Starting at the bottom of page 48 through page 49, this is the summary from internal audit plan for fiscal year 2022 that was included in the internal audit plan approved by the commission and audit committee. In accordance with the plan, we have performed back page 50, that summarizes what we have performed for fiscal year 2022, which was bank examination audit, IT examinations audit, and internal audit annual report, including follow-up report for findings and recommendations that was presented to last year's internal audit report. Starting page 51 of the packet, this is the internal audit report for the IT examinations area. This audit was performed in April 2022, and this was also performed 100% remotely. And the finalized report was submitted to the DOB on June 1st, 2022. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank DOB staff for assisting us in fully cooperating with us, especially Deputy Commissioner Rodriguez. She has been taking initiative to make sure this audit will be completed in a timely manner and smoothly. And also, Bank and Trust Director Frazier and IT Security Examinations Director Kinko, and Chief IT Security Examiner Norris. We have received tremendous help from these individuals during the audit. And back to the report, page 51. This part begins with general information of the area audited and followed by summary of key activities with focus of internal audits. It first describes IT examinations type and frequency requirement, and followed by IT examination processes, internal controls in place, and work paper reviews, and examiner trainings. And on page 54, I would like to note that related to COVID-19, I'm happy to report that DOB continued to conducting full scope IT examinations during the pandemic emergency situations, and safety protocols were implemented and that included temporarily modifying examination process and transitioning from conducting on-site to primarily off-site examinations. And the modification allowed the risk-based approach the area took in order to ensure adherence to the examination schedule without compromising examination quality. And the area has formally documented and informed all staff of authorization of deviation from certain established procedures during this emergency period. Page 55 and 57 documents audit objectives, scope, and methodology. As I mentioned earlier, the objective of this audit was to determine whether DOB's policies and procedures and internal controls in place over the IT examination areas provide reasonable assurance that effective and timely IT examinations are performed and that they are performed in accordance with applicable laws and regulations, and internal controls are operating effectively. The scope of this audit was to review and test the area's selected functions and examinations performed for a 7-month period from September 1st, 2021 to March 31st, 2022. And methodology documents what we have reviewed and what we have done in order to achieve the objective of our audit. And page 58 of your packet summarizes the result of the audit. And as you see, I am happy to report that there is no findings or observation to be reported after we perform the procedures documented in previous. And page 60 is the result of a follow-up procedures for the prior year internal audit that had finding and two observations. That was for consumer system area. And I am happy to report that all findings have been cleared this year. And page 61, I am not sure if I presented this part in SML's internal audit annual report. I apologize if I skipped. I feel that I skipped this. These are the, back to the required information to be included in internal audit annual report. Yes, I definitely skipped this part, and I apologize. For section 7, external audit service performed in fiscal year 2022, it's DOB procured this internal audit services, but no other external audit services are performed. And section 8, reporting suspected fraud and abuse, DOB has provided information on their website homepage clearly how to report suspected fraud, waste, abuse, and abuse to the state auditor's office. And the last item, section 9, is the proposed internal audit plan for fiscal year 2023. And this proposed area, I would like for you to consider tentative areas. Since these areas are based on 2022 risk assessment, which was done more than half a year ago, and to develop internal audit plan for fiscal year 2023, we will re-perform risk assessment based on most recent information obtained during fiscal year 2023. So please note that this area corporate activities and procurement contract management and how may change based on what we see in updated information. And the last page, 63, this is the history of areas audited from 2012 through 2022. And this concludes the presentation.
The annual report, and I'm available for questions. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? No. All right. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Texas Department of Banking's 2022 annual internal audit report as prepared and presented by Garza and Associates?
Rosie Morris, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it and the motion passes. Thank you very much, Ms. Chair.
Thank you. Should I go back to present the sections 7 through 9 for SML, or will it be okay? It's the same.
Committee members, would you like her to go back over?
Aye. Thanks.
I think we're good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now move on to item F. Ms. Cheryl Saucedo from Garza and Associates, or Garza Gonzalez and Associates, will present the OCC's audit report.
Good morning, commissioners and audit committee members. My name is Cheryl Saucedo. I'm a senior auditor with Garza Gonzalez and Associates. Today I'm going to be presenting the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner Internal Audit Annual report for fiscal year 2022. It was dated May 20th, 2022. And it can be found on pages 65 through 88 of your board packet.
This report was prepared in accordance with the guidelines prescribed by the State Auditor's Office and contains all the required information for compliance with the Texas State Internal Audit Annual Report Requirements. The 2022 Internal Audit Plan that was dated November 19, 2021 was approved by the Audit Committee and the Finance Commission on December 17, 2021 and contained one audit area, which was for the regulated lenders examination audit area and the follow-up of prior year internal audits. This report contains the results of the regulated lender examinations area audit for the 7 months ended March 31st, 2022, and reflects the results and implementation statuses of the follow-up procedures performed for fiscal year 2022. On page 67 is our letter addressed to the Finance Commission and the Audit Committee members. It includes a summary of the audit objective and the scope. We are pleased to report that no material instances of noncompliance were noted. However, we did note and identified certain matters that are included in this report that are opportunities to strengthen internal controls and ensure compliance with state requirements and OCCC's established policies and procedures. On page 73 through 76 is the background information for the regulated lenders examination. And on pages 76 through 78, you will find the complete audit objective, scope, and methodology. The objective of our audit was to determine whether OCCC's policies, procedures, processes, and internal controls in place over the regulated lenders examination area provide reasonable assurance that effective and timely examinations are performed, and that they are performed in accordance with the applicable state laws and regulations, and that internal controls operated effectively. On page 79 of the report, you'll find a summary of the observations and findings that we have noted. We are reporting three findings with low ratings and three observations. The comments and recommendations, all of which management was in agreement with, can be found on pages 80 through 83, along with the management's responses. Page 84 contains the results and implementation statuses of the follow-up procedures we performed on prior year's internal audits, which included four recommendations. We are pleased to report that three of the recommendations are fully implemented and one was substantially implemented. On page 85, you will find the proposed internal audit plan for fiscal year 2023, which was prepared using the risk assessment that was performed in fiscal year 2022. That risk assessment identified the proposed audit area to be the human resources and payroll. However, when the risk assessment is going to be performed for fiscal year 2023, this area may differ based on the results of the risk assessment. Upon completion of the 2023 internal audit plan, we will be presenting that to the Audit Committee and the Finance Commission for acceptance and approval at a later date. I would like to take the opportunity to thank Christine Graham and the OCCC staff who helped me facilitate the audit and provided the information timely. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions or go into detail if you'd like.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
No. All right. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's 2022 Annual Internal Audit Report as prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez and Associates.
Rosie Morris, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it and the motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now move on to item G, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Christine Graham, if you'll come forward. We have just a really brief update on activities for TIFI, and then we have the next item. But Christine, you want to provide just a really brief statement on the activities?
Sure, yeah. Christine Graham, OCCC. Our first period grant cycle is wrapping up at the end of June. We'll have reports in by July and should have some aggregate data for you guys published at the first meeting in the fall. So that's the update for current amounts.
And so, Madam Chair, we'd like to move to the next item, I guess, which is the, well, I guess it's all part of the same item, the activities. As we had been discussing in the prior commission meeting, we had talked about a number of alternatives to attempt to look for some future guidelines and future vision for how we want to proceed with the financial education endowment. And so I appreciate the work that Christy has put together in terms of the various options we have. And as we began to evaluate this, it became apparent, I think, one of the primary messages and themes that we began to consider is that it appears we want to, you know, the grant fund has been very successful, and we want to continue to grow that and to grow the program and to provide greater grant awards. And so our current recommendation to you, and we were asked to come back with staff recommendation, so our current recommendation is to increase the maximum grant award. And as we went back through the policies and procedures, we felt like we could add a section to the grant manual addressing maximum grant award available. So currently it's in the application process. Currently the maximum grant award is for a two-year period is $40,000. And so staff is currently recommending that we modify this amount and to increase the maximum grant award to $45,000 for a one-year grant and to $90,000 for a two-year grant. So it's a pretty substantial increase. But we believe that forecasts would allow the endowment to continue to support grants, that we could support grant level between maybe 7 to 14 organizations in the two-year grant cycle at the recommended grant award amounts. And that would certainly give us the opportunity and the flexibility to increase grant funding over the historical levels that we have been providing, but still maintain some flexibility for the Finance Commission to allocate some of the current portion of the collections to funding the actual grants. And so to the aggregate award, we think that's the best approach at this moment. On page 90, you'll just see is the new section that we are recommending that be added to the grant administration annual. So staff, unless Christy needs to add anything to my presentation, she's here for questions, but the staff would recommend that the audit committee recommend to the Finance Commission that they adopt a modification to the TIFI grant administration and policy manual to add a new section F, subsection F to Roman numeral 1, which would increase the maximum grant award not to exceed $45,000 for a one-year grant and $90,000 for a two-year grant. Thank you.
I think that's a tremendous move in the right direction. So congratulations on coming up with this.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Great.
Okay. All right, so then do I hear a motion to recommend that we adopt a modification to the TIFI grant administration and policy manual to add a new subsection F to section I, which would increase the maximum grant award not to exceed $45,000 for a one-year period and $90,000 for a two-year period?
Rosie Morris, so moved.
Second,
Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it and the motion passes. Are there any further activities?
No further activities to report.
Okay. Then I also need a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the activities of the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund.
So moved, Philip Holt.
Second, Rosie Morris.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The ayes have it and the motion passes. There is nothing to discuss for item H today. So there being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned. The time is 9:23 a.m.